We're going to take your old list that didn't buy from you, and we're going to run it through our system, and we're going to set up a call. The best part, he said, is you only pay if you sell, and it's 14%. When they set up an appointment to call, 90% of the people were there to answer the phone, and we did almost $500,000 in business.
We've talked about past customers, but then what about all of those people that didn't buy? A lot of people just, they don't get the whole customer thing. It's like, damn, you know, one customer should lead to another one. There's so many different strategies for that.
Have you ever felt like there's a secret club of successful contractors and you're left outside? Want in? Well, you just found the entry door. Welcome to the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. Each episode, we pull back the curtain, revealing the stories, strategies, and secrets that top leaders use to grow their home improvement business and enjoy more success, more wealth, and more freedom. Discover more at thewealthycontractor.com. Now let's get into today's episode.
All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. I have with me today my friend Ken Baer from K&P Remodeling out of Knoxville, Tennessee. He may look familiar to you all, and his voice may sound familiar to you all, because him and his amazing partner, Patty, were on our special Valentine's Day episodes where we talked about how to do business with your wife or partner, significant other, and not kill each other. Ken and Patty have pretty, you know, figured that out pretty well. I think me and Addie have figured it out pretty well, though I don't know, lately we've come close to her, you know, throwing me off a building. But how are you, Ken?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back, Ryan. Appreciate it.
So I guess we should talk a little bit about business and what's going on in the business. Let's remind everybody though what you guys do. Give us the like quick version of what you guys do.
The quick version is we do remodeling. We specialize in three products: replacement windows, cabinet refacing, and home organization closets. We do work with the Home Depot. We've been doing that since we started 2012. And we do it with K&P, which is our own. We have 103 stores with Home Depot in seven states that we do work with. Keeps us very busy. That's sort of where we're at.
What percentage of your leads come from your relationship with Home Depot?
It used to be 90%. We really weren't promoting K&P at all about 10 to 12 years ago. When COVID came is when Home Depot got shut down pretty much as far as getting leads. That's when we opened up K&P as its own entity and started promoting it. So it was literally 100% 12 years ago. Then it was about 85-15, then it got to 50-50. And we're trying to get it close to 25-75. We're not there yet, but we're
smart though.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to diversify a little bit. You know, we have a great relationship with them. We love it. It's a home show every day in 103 stores. It's a beautiful thing. You know, if you could get into this type of business, it's a special thing. You have to price things correctly so you have the margins, but it's a great, great business to get into with the Costcos, the BJs, the Sam's Clubs, and Walmarts and Home Depots and things like that, Ace Hardwares.
We've been talking a lot lately about leads, and you know, I was gone for a little bit. So the last two or three days, I've been making phone calls and talking to people in the industry. Hey, what's going on? Talking with clients. And it seems like, you know, lead flow is relatively, I guess, steady. It's just leads are getting more expensive. I mean, for a year, we've been talking about, at least a year, if not longer, we've been talking about diversifying leads, where they're coming from, where the leads are coming from. Because as you know very well, you know, you rely on any one place for 80%+ of your leads. And then something happens to that lead source, you're screwed. You're out of business.
Correct.
And we've seen a lot during the COVID boom where a lot of companies relied on aggregators and internet marketing companies to drive all of their leads. Well, yeah, you could do that when there's an overabundance of leads. And, you know, we saw demand like we hadn't seen ever. Like you and me have probably been in the business about the same amount of time, and we had never seen anything like it. So I think you guys diversifying lead generation was very, very smart. Let's talk about the stores for a minute. I think it's a great strategy. Like you said, home show every day, but it's really kind of, I don't know, it's not for everybody, is it?
It takes a special system. That's all it is. It's a different system. It's basically the same system. It's just tweaked a little bit. You're going after somebody that walked in the store looking for a flashlight, a light bulb. And we just have our own people in the store with black aprons. We can't wear the orange aprons. Obviously, we're not employees of Home Depot. And we have our aprons. We walk up and pretty much it's a simple thing. Have you heard what Home Depot's doing for homeowners today? We know they haven't because they just walked in the door. And we also know if they're not a homeowner, we're going to find that out real quickly. And from there, we just tell them that we're giving up to 2 hours of our design specialist time at no charge to you. Come out and give you a free estimate that's good for a year. We're just thinking about it. And then you have all the answers and stuff and objections. But it gets your foot in the door. You're getting the person. When we used to do cold calling and stuff, you'd go through 100 people to get one person that said yes. Well, we're doing that in person now that you can't call these people out of the blue anymore because of you know, all the rules and regulations. We're catching those same people. We're going to hear 29 no's to get to that one yes after 30 for our average person. We have people do much better. We have people do a little worse. But, you know, so if you talk to 100 people, you're going to get 3 leads. And, you know, that's sort of our base numbers. So you're weaning out all the crap of people that would normally hang up on you on the phone as soon as you call and said,
you're doing it face-to-face.
Yeah, exactly. So we're catching the people that used to say, oh, okay, you're calling about windows? Sure, come on out. So we're catching that same person. So it's different than the person that goes on the website and Googles, I'm looking for windows or I'm looking for facing. So you're catching the person who's maybe thought about it, maybe hasn't thought about it. They're very influenced. They're the same people that are going to buy the gum when they get up to the grocery store at the rack there. You know how much money stores make in that rack?
Oh, fortune, yeah.
So that's what we're grabbing is that impulsive person. And if they're easy to get a lead for, they're even easier to get them to say yes when you're in the house, when you convince them through your processes and the steps that we use that make sense to move forward with it. So it's a great lead source.
How many stores did you start with?
14 in Knoxville, Tennessee only. Well, we had Chattanooga as well to start, but it was about 14 stores. And very quickly, it was a great relationship and it just kept blooming from there. They kept giving us more stores, more products.
Yeah. Now, logistically, do you have people in every store every day, 7 days a week?
I wish we did. That's the hardest part is manning the stores.
Okay.
So we try to pick the busiest stores. We go to where they live. It's very tough. And we're actually in the process. We redid our ISP program, our in-store promoters, and we're actually looking at talks with a third party that may run it for us, which they could scale it very easily. They've done this for a long time.
So out of the 100 stores, let's just talk percentages, not stores, but percentages. What percentage of the stores do you have people in today, right now?
Probably a little less than a third, 30%.
Really? Okay.
It's a tough battle. It's people, they're on the feet all day. It's tough. So we have people that kill it. They can make $2,000 working 20 hours a week. We got people making $1,000, and then we got people making $100 that don't last that long. So it's a very tough niche, but if you could figure it out, it's definitely worthwhile.
But look, you know as well as anybody, this is not an easy business. I mean, no business is easy, but this one in particular is not an easy business. It's got a lot of moving parts. And the people like you that are doing well in this business that are really, I think, to me, you're kind of recession resistant. I mean, whatever's going to happen in the market's going to happen. You're not going to participate in it because you guys are, you're willing to do what it takes to go out every day and make a lead out of nothing.
Correct.
I mean, in those stores, I would imagine, like, what percentage of the people are actually homeowners? So 100 people, like you said, 100 people and what, 3 people maybe you'll make a lead out of, or 30 people and you get 1 lead. So what percentage of those people aren't even homeowners?
There's quite a bit. I don't know the actual number. I'd be making a number up, to be honest. But this Home Depot did a study a few years back that an average couple that gets married will spend over $100,000 with Home Depot in their lifetime. And how it starts is they're going to start out in a starter home. They don't own it. Okay. So they got to buy shelves and stuff like that and plants, you know, so things we don't think about, hooks to hang pictures up. So they don't own a house, but they do shop there. But the majority, I think, is homeowners.
Interesting. Okay.
So they buy the first house, they got to fix it up. Then they need windows, then they need a roof, then they need flooring. So as over the years, so if they, the whole point is they're very stringent on us and make sure that we have to treat their customers like gold, which we do. Because if they lose somebody because we did a bad job in their kitchen, they, in their eyes, they lost $100,000 because that's what the person was going to spend with them to acquire another customer and have that kind of longevity. You know, they get very upset with if you don't handle it. I actually just got a text right before we got on the phone that our VOC, which is voice of the customer score with Home Depot, only in the Home Depot side, was a 4.88 for June, 4 out of 5. So that's customer being happy after we went in their house and tore their kitchen apart and put it back together in 3 to 5 days.
That's impressive. But my point in asking you that question is you're getting no a lot. Just like on the phone, if you're cold calling on the phone, you're getting no a lot. But that's the nature of the game. I mean, the people that are really going to be hurting now and in the coming, you know, weeks, months, years, are the people that don't have a way of leaving their office and not relying on somebody else to generate a lead for them. Because if you're relying on somebody else to go and generate a lead for you, you're giving up control of your business and, dare I say, your life to somebody else. And so you guys kind of figured that out and said, well, no, we're not going to do it this way. So what else are you doing? I mean, that's a big shift to go from 85-15 to now.
We're close to 50-50, 45-50. We're trying to get down to 25. I mean, we're not there yet, but we just placed a lot of stuff, which, you know, what we found was we were doing lead aggregators and spending a fortune with all these people. And we found out we were actually cannibalizing ourselves in certain markets because we had all these people paying that we're paying for Google, pay-per-clicks and other things. And they were all in the same area. So they're all competing against each other, raising our price even higher when they're high enough as it is. So we've changed that all around. We said, how can we find other vehicles? And that's what we've been trying to do. We've got into, it's an election year. So a lot of people say you don't want to be on TV or they're going to cut you off if you're on TV. They're going to bounce your ad right out, even though you paid for it. They're going to come in and pay more money and get your spot. So we found a very sweet spot that we feel comfortable with. We just started it, so I don't know how good it's going to work or not. But we found that what they won't bounce is the weather and the traffic. So we're sponsoring weather and traffic with a 30-second commercial before and after they do it. So that's never going to get bounced. People always want to see the weather and traffic. So we're doing that in 4 markets. We're trying that. We're doing YouTube, not YouTube TV, YouTube marketed to homeowners within a certain price that they make and their house is worth a certain amount. So you and me and 5 other people could be sitting next to each other watching YouTube, the same video, and we're all going to get different commercials, which I've heard about for years and thought it was crazy, but they're here now. It's here. So we could watch the same show and get 2 different commercials based on our likes and dislikes. So we just started that up in a bunch of areas. We're doing something with Amazon Prime, which was I'm very happy to see how this goes. This is Amazon Prime just started doing commercials when you start a movie and you can't skip them. So you have to watch it like YouTube. If they hit skip ad, you could skip it after a certain point. We don't pay if they skip the ad. We only pay if they watch the whole ad. On Amazon Prime, they have to watch the video. There is no skip ad. So they're going to watch it before a movie loads.
Is that a... Because I have Amazon Prime, me and 100 million other people, but I'm paying for Amazon Prime, so I shouldn't get those commercials. Are you saying I'm going to start to see commercials now?
That's what they're telling me. We're going to start to see a commercial before a movie starts.
Oh, that'll piss me off.
I know, me too. I always pay the extra few dollars like Hulu or something.
Well, yeah, me too. Commercials. Yeah. Here's a question for you. I know the answer, but I think it'll be very good for the listener. Is how do you know if things are going to work or not work? Because now you just said, we're trying this. How do you know whether or not they quote unquote work and they're profitable for you?
Well, we track everything. I mean, we have separate phone numbers that call into our call center and the caller ID shows up immediately. Amazon, YouTube, WATE, WBLT, you know, whatever station we're on, You know, it says Google pay-per-click, it says the website. So they know as soon as it hits. We also have a lot of back of the house stuff like active prospect. If people don't know some of these, they should really look into them. I was told about them from a good friend of mine, Scott Berman with Florida Windows and Doors. And he jumped tremendously over the years from 25 million to 100, over 100 million. And he's helped me, you know, the beauty of this business is the mentorship that I see. You know, people see me on this and they reach out to me. I reach out to people like Scott. He's reached out to people above him. It's a great industry, even though it seems so big, it's very small. But he gave me Active Prospect, Full Throttle AI, which is a pretty cool thing. There's a bunch of tools out there that can help you track things.
Yeah, and Scott is like, he's all over any and every new piece of technology that comes out. Scott's talking about mentors. I mean, we have our Success Society meeting coming up, our intensive coming up for our members in a couple of weeks. And Scott's one of our mentors. He runs one of our mastermind groups, and he's fantastic. You know, Brian Elias is like that, too. I mean, you talk about technology. I mean, this guy is all over any new piece of technology. Those guys are all over it, trying it out.
I look at how much they're doing. Even Brian, with his new business, amazing how quickly he scaled that. Listen to your podcast of how he got there very quickly. You know, but he's amazing. You know, if you see what they're doing, why not do what they're doing on a smaller scale?
They're following a formula. And, you know, this podcast is really designed from the beginning to reveal and talk about that formula with people like you. And it's shocking to me that more people don't just follow the formula. I mean, we reveal it on this podcast with every episode. You know, we at our Accelerate event, at the Profit Workshop that's coming up, there's formulas to lead gen, there's formulas to sales, there's formulas to profitability, to actually making money in this business. There's a formula for getting rich from this business. But, you know, hopefully, you know, maybe I'm not doing a good job of it. Maybe I need to be a little more clear about it. But back to the question I asked you, which I knew the answer to, which was tracking, that's one of the keys, especially with lead costs going up, is it really is shocking to me how people aren't, one, trying more and more stuff, but then two, when they are trying stuff, is to make sure that tracking mechanisms are in place so that they know, if I'm spending $1,000 on this thing, is it profitable or is it not profitable?
You can't go in blind. I mean, you can't just keep throwing money at something. You have to make sure it's working. And you have to drop something when it doesn't work. Something that worked 3 months ago may not be working today. And we got to drop that quickly. I mean, if you see a trend, they may have changed an algorithm or something, and all of a sudden it's not working for us anymore. Drop it, get rid of it, pick something else up. And there's enough new stuff. There's enough things. The emails that I get all day long from different companies trying to pitch us different lead gens and stuff, it's out there. Just a side note, I wanted to bring this up because this was the shocker of the year for me.
Oh, tell me.
Guy reached out to me, and I'll give his name, Jaden, with a company called Remodel Boom. I don't know if you've heard of them yet.
I've heard of them. Yeah, yeah.
No idea who they were. They called and they said, we're going to take your old list of all your old customers that didn't buy from you, and we're going to run it through our system, and we're going to set up a call with a set appointment that you're going to call back and follow this script. And the best part, he said, is you only pay if you sell, and it's 14%, which was a little steep. But I said, we already paid for these leads. These are the leads that nobody in my call center wants to call, although they have to call, you know, and go back. And we ran through, and he said, you know, we did somebody with 30,000 leads, and we did $250,000 with them. So I hear this nonsense all the time. I'm like, All right, let's see. We gave them 60,000 names and addresses and whatever, you know. When they set up an appointment to call, 90% of the people were there to answer the phone. They already knew what we were calling about. It was unreal. And we did almost $500,000 in business with the company that we're going to pay. Now I got to pay the 14%. But other than that, it was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And if anybody wants, reach out to them. I'm telling you, this
is... it's found money, though.
Yes.
Found money sitting in your database. I mean, you know, with G4, we've talked about past customers forever. there's opportunities like that just in the past customer list. But then, yeah, what about all of those people that didn't buy? And now look, to those of you listening and you heard that number, 30,000, 60,000. Yes, big number. He has a big company, but I mean, drop one zero off of it. And now you're down to 6,000 names. And if you run, you know, if you're a $3 or $4 million company and you do what, 300 jobs a year, that means you went to see at least 1,000 people. At least you went to see 1,000 people a year, even at, you know, again, a $3 million company. So 5 or 6 years, you've got 5 or 6,000 names. So now you just hand them over to somebody. And if you, again, take a zero off your half million and it's 50,000 in found revenue at a 14% lead cost, that, by the way, that was not your, how involved was your call center in that?
They were a little bit. They send a text out, which when I read the text, because I was on my own list, so I got the text. I was shocked that these people were responding, because to me, it wasn't something that I would think people would jump through hoops for. But obviously, they did. They called their call center. That was the number on the text. Their people did all the hard work, the heavy work.
Well, so my point is, so you add another point or two.
Yeah.
Now you're at 16 points. Let's say
it's still worth it because it was just sitting there doing nothing. It was doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah. So you're a $3 or $4 million company. You've got 6,000 names. You give it to somebody like this company. I'll look them up. I don't know if I want to promote them yet, but yeah. And you get 5 or 6 jobs out of it. Hey, you know, it's not a bad deal. It's just stuff that's in your database. But here's the thing, though. It's interesting. As you were saying that, you know, I get these emails all day and, you know, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday. You're at home. You know, like, how much are you working now? You have a team of people that are doing all this stuff. Your job, though, is not to be in the weeds. Your job is to be looking out for these opportunities. And so the thing about people being stuck in their businesses, we talk all the time about having a business that works for you. Well, you have to create that. You have to build a team around you. You got to get your profit model right. You have to get pricing model right. You got to have systems and processes. You got to follow the formula that we're talking about. And then you, as the owner now, start looking for these opportunities. And if you're so busy out in the field, if you are out, you know, running from one Home Depot store to another, or dealing with the people that are working in the Home Depot stores, oh my God, you come home at night at 8 o'clock, you're exhausted, you've hardly accomplished anything. And this opportunity to add $500,000 in revenue at a 16% lead cost out of thin air, it would have just passed you by.
Yep. And what I do, playing off of that, what you just brought up, I have a marketing manager. And what he does is I get all these emails because I've been doing it forever. So I'm on all the lists. So I email them to him. And then James sets up the appointment. He does the introduction and he'll give me a synopsis of what the call went. And do we want to pursue this? Does he think we should pursue it? Do I think we should pursue it? Or should we just drop it there? It's not a fit. So he weeds it all out. We go back and we sit down and say, okay, so I'm not doing all this crazy legwork and stuff. As you said, I'm in the office. And that's the biggest change is one, I was at your profitability a couple of years ago with Mark and yourself and Meg and Kerry. And that helped tremendously. We're still making money continuously, but now we're doing it the right way. We could see what's happening. I mean, it took a while for but the second thing that changed after getting the right profitability was being able to not work in the business every day and be able to look at it from almost a top looking down, like you're overseeing yourself and watching. And you could see when you have systems in place, it's very easy to see when something pops out of place because it's so out of place. You go, what happened here? And then we go dig in to figure out what it is and how to fix it. You know, so it's more problem solving and finding new opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And not micromanaging. We're very against micromanaging people. We want to give them the tools. What we're trying to do is teach them to make the decisions that we would make. And what we found, it's nothing new. We found this from other people. You know, ask them, Brian, what would you have done before you came to me, if it was your decision, and then you hear if it's a great decision, it's not the one you thought of, say, that's a great idea, maybe we could run with it. If not, say, you know, that's a great idea, but we would have done it this way. And you slowly try to mold them to become mini yous when they're thinking of things. They don't think of a whole picture. They see their job and they see the little piece. And we see it as a whole picture saying, well, if you do that, that this, this, and this is going to get screwed up. So
this episode is brought to you by One in Fund. At One in Fund, they know the frustration of trying to close a sale only to face a financing decline. The traditional financing process is cumbersome and often leaves customers overwhelmed. One in Fund is not a lender or a financing company. It's a sales enablement tool and a critical part of your tech stack to maximize profitability. Founded by home improvement experts, One in Fund simplifies and accelerates home improvement financing. The revolutionary one-look, multi-lender finance platform acts as your finance manager in a box. Statistics show that 58% of salespeople don't run second look in the home. One look does the work so your reps don't have to. And with a single application, 100% of One Look apps get a first through third look. It also delivers a 10% increase on project acceptance. One look benefits your customers, sales reps, business, and the lenders, providing stronger approvals. Visit oneandfund.com. That's the number one and fund. .com today to start delivering an exceptional experience for all. You know, it's interesting what you said, because money, we talk about profitability all the time. You got to make money, you got to make money. And I guess what we don't talk about enough is how you use that money to create the business, to hire those people in order for you to be able to be the person that is a problem solver and an opportunity seeker. You know, you're at every event. You're smart to do that, because in your organization, I mean, really in anybody's organization, I mean, you come to the something like Profit Workshop, you know, you add one point to your bottom line, one point to your bottom line. For you, that's a few hundred thousand dollars, you know, one point. I mean, if, even for somebody that's like a, you know, a $3 million, again, a $3 million or $4 million company, one point to the bottom line is another $30,000, $40,000. 2 points is now you can hire somebody in your company to take on those things that you don't like doing, you're not particularly good at doing, and things that suck the life out of you and suck your time. And so when you're able to really understand how the formula works, understand profitability, now you can really start to build a business that works for you so that you can do, you know, get in a position like where you guys are now. And is your company growing faster now since you've kind of transitioned out to be more of this role?
Yeah, we're actually scaling, trying to scale very heavily. And that's why we're doing all these different things. The goal is to be scaling a lot faster. A lot of this just took place within the last 2 to 3 months. So I don't have an answer yet. We're hoping that's the goal, is not to just do all pay-per-click, diversify all the lead sources, get different things moving, think out of the box. You know, there's some really good people in the industry that think out of the box, that do some consulting and stuff. Don't be afraid to spend a little of that money, because the expertise that somebody could bring back in, it's astronomical.
It's like we were talking about profitability, Profit Workshop, one point to the bottom line, 2 points, what's that worth? But then, you know, you go to other events and you get one idea. You meet one person, you create a relationship with one vendor, and it could change everything. And too many people are like stuck, you know, they're stuck in their world. This is the office, and I got to go to the office, and I got to go run here, and I got to go run there. And there's not control. It's all reactionary, rather than being able to step back, slow down, and proactively look at the whole landscape and say, okay, now how do we grow?
That is the difference, I mean, between making money and making real money. I mean, the difference is you have to get a team in place, and you have to be able to back yourself out and watch, obviously contribute, and obviously feel your worth is there, then you want to work, but you know, and still get the respect of obviously everybody there, but you want to phase back so you can enjoy life a lot more and get away and do things that are fun that I enjoy and Patty enjoys, you know, enjoy your life. We work hard. You know, everybody works hard, but we work hard. We're very blessed and we appreciate it. We try to take care of our people. We just opened a new division, a new part of our company. My older son is doing it, Michael, and he was an undercover NYPD cop and used to buy drugs all the time in New York in very bad areas. Got out of that, and he's now, he sold for us, came down and sold for a couple of years. He was our first rep ever to get to $1 million quicker than anybody else. And then he wanted to get more involved with the business, not be a salesperson. We really didn't have a position, and he sort of created a position that we sort of needed and we knew we needed and we've been wanting to do. We didn't have the time, which is, it's a mixture of two. It's team culture, the culture of the company, everybody that works for us, and community relations, which they're both very important to us. And we didn't feel either one was strong enough as a full-time job, but putting them together, and we're doing a lot of outreach where we're giving back to all the areas that gave us a beautiful living. I mean, they've helped us. Why not give back? We do these things called blessing boxes, which I've never heard of before he got involved with it. A lot of little churches, ambulance corps and things. It's sort of like a free library where people put a box out. You pull a book out and read it. You can put it back in there. This is give what you can, take what you can. And we put food. We go in and fill these food plates. We don't physically go, but we fill these food baskets up in 7 different states on a weekly basis. And we're trying to get, we started a few months ago, we're trying to get 8 places in each area. So we rotate every 2 months and we're constantly giving them different supplies. It's just canned goods and stuff like that. And just giving back. We started something that hasn't happened yet, and knock on wood, we don't want it to happen. We started a disaster relief program where we'll rent a box truck and we got some jackets and logos and stuff, and people in that area, if there's a tornado or something, we're going to buy a bunch of waters and different things and shoot up there and hand things out, try to help people if there's any kind of disasters in our marketplaces. We're putting together a program to give a wounded soldier a house full of windows. So I know other people do that. I know it's nothing new, but it's something I've been wanting to do forever, is give back. And we're finally at that point where we have somebody that can do this on a continuous basis.
That's beautiful.
We feel it's a great, great part to give back to the community.
So. Do you, with the food stuff and the canned goods and all that, do you get your customers involved in that?
We haven't yet. We've been playing with it, the idea of it. And we created a company newsletter, which we've never had before. So we're getting more involvement from our 1099s. Because they're onto this well, our salespeople and our installers. And we have one office in Knoxville. Everybody else works out of their houses, and we have logistic companies. So there's people on islands, and we always felt they were left alone too long sometimes. So this newsletter sort of bonded everybody back together. So we're getting people bought in. And once they're bought in, we want to get the installers bought in to the point where they can start maybe picking up canned goods at the end that we could start using, stuff like that.
I'll send you a great guy out of Texas who does box trucks filled with canned goods that they get from their customers. When they go out on an appointment, they'll say, hey, we have this program and if you can give us, you know, a can or two, and then that all goes back to their warehouse. And then when they fill up, I'll send you the document. I had him give me the whole step by step of how to do it, but I'll send that to you, because if you could start getting your customers involved, and then boy, now you got box trucks filled, like, because with the number of people you guys are seeing, I mean, you get box trucks filled up every couple of weeks, you can.
On a different note, what we did was something that I heard from Brian Gottlieb a few times, having, I don't know the term he used because we're using a different term, but sub salespeople, sales managers. So we have David, who's our sales manager, who has been with us for about 7-8 years. I don't know. We've reached out with Brian and with somebody that used to work with him, and they've given us the whole background, and we've broken that out. So David, who's taken the company from what I built it to and went way above it, by having the tools and everything and that he's brought into it, his knowledge and whatnot, has expanded the company tremendously. And then it got to a point where he can't handle all these people. So this was a way of helping some of our sales team that's doing great, to give them a little more responsibility. And it's just worked into the culture and everything that we've done that we're building the teams up. That's fairly new too.
The newsletter you were talking about, is that an internal newsletter for the KMP family? Do you do one to your customers?
We do with you through,
through G4. Okay. Yeah. Listen, there is no better way to maintain your relationship with your customers than through a newsletter, a company newsletter. There's really no better way. We do. Yeah. G4 does millions of those things a year to homeowners. But I like the internal newsletter. There's a G4 does an internal newsletter because the team has gotten pretty big now. I don't know how many it is, but we started it, but the new ownership is really taking it on. That thing is like, it's really cool to see. I mean, look, I'm an asshole. That kind of stuff doesn't do much for me. I hate to admit it, but it doesn't do much for me. But I see the team, how it bonds the team. So it's great. You know, I think it's awesome.
I think it's pretty cool because we have installers. We have a couple that Patty and I have never met. They're like in a distant area. We have a huge Christmas party every year, bring everybody down. But for whatever reason, they've never been able to come. And the buy-in wasn't there, but the newsletter has created a little more bond. Celebrating birthdays, celebrating anniversaries. We have a gift card company that we partnered up with that we could send gift cards for their birthdays and stuff. Just showing the recognition that we've always felt, but we never had the time to sit there when we're busy in the business, sit there and write out a gift card to somebody. You know, this allows us to do that. But there is a great buy-in on it. It's interesting to see and hear stories. He's highlighting different people in the organization. So I'm learning about them that I didn't even know. But just to go back to give you a little plug, I know it's not yours anymore, but the newsletters with G4, the emailed ones, and especially the ones that come in the mail.
Oh, yeah.
They're gold. They're great. I love reading it. There's a little something that catches your eye in every one. And if you're not doing the flyers in between too, I mean, with your own personalized flyer in there, you're missing the boat. I mean, if you guys don't know about this, you should by now. But if you don't, look into it.
Well, we still own some of G4, so I appreciate the plug.
The cookies are great. You know how many people we get that you never expected? For the ones that don't know, should know by now. But they send a package of cookies in your name. And, well, it's just that it's the rule of reciprocal, can't even say the word. But
yeah,
reciprocity.
Law of reciprocity.
Yes. Where you give something to somebody, they feel they got to give it back. And we use that to try and get referrals off of them. You gave them cookies, they feel they got to give you something back.
Well, and also, you know, the other thing too is, and when we started way back in 2009, the thing that we knew too was we send out the cookies, we're also going to get a lot more reviews. Like, I forgot what the number is, but it's like, it's a pretty high number. I forgot off the top of my head. But yeah, you're right. But it's also, at the end of the day, isn't it just the right thing to do when somebody spends money with you? Isn't it just the right thing to do than to just say thank you?
We didn't do it for so long. I mean, it took us a while to get involved with you and get it going. But once we did, it's been a great move and been very happy with it. So, you know, I recommend it to people. It's definitely worth a while. Keeps your name out there, especially if you do different products. You know, when we only did cabinet refacing in the past, I was like, we already did their house. Why do I need this? Yes, they can give me referrals and hopefully they gave me a high score anyways, stars on the Google. But after that, how many more kitchens are they going to do with us? But now that we got windows and closets, now we could play off of the old customers and stuff.
You know, look, and I've always said it, I think at least when we had it, 60%+ of our clients were in roofing, either primary only roofing or it was part of their mix. And so, like, you put on a roof, you're never doing a roof again. But the thing was, but they know people. And so what we're really working for is to get those referrals. So that's why we're staying in touch with those customers. And I don't know, you just can't go wrong. You got to put a fence around your customers. I don't know if you heard the podcast. Basically, it was, I didn't want to call it this, but it was the COVID boom is over podcast. And so I said, there's four things that I think we've really got to take control of and master if we're going to really thrive over the next 2 years. One was leads, obviously lead diversification and being able to go and make leads and lead proper lead management. The second was taking every sales opportunity that you possibly can and doing the best, most professional job you can, and doing things like what you mentioned, where you're recycling those unsold jobs. And number three was every customer counts. Every customer counts. And the fourth one was obviously make money, you know, be profitable. A lot of people just, they don't get the whole customer thing. It's like, damn, you know, one customer should lead to another one. There's so many different strategies for that. Hey, we've got a few minutes left. I want to go to a completely different place with you as we wrap up. So we're getting successful Ken Bear, happy, successful, free, rich, can do whatever you want. Wasn't always like this for you, was it?
Nope. You saw the last podcast that we did. You would long story.
I think we were, the four of us were kind of sharing our battle wounds, commiserating about how bad things were, but how we stuck together and how we figured it out. But I'm always curious about what changed for you. I mean, I know, look, you guys, kind of like us, you lost everything. You had to start over again and start over again. And you started with nothing and you built and you built and the two of you worked together. But there was a point, you hit a point, and I don't know what year it was or when it was. For me, it was like 2016 was when I hit that point where it was just like, I got it. It started to click and boom, we went like this. Do you remember when that was for you guys?
It's probably close to that. It's probably maybe 17 or 18 where it was like, you know, when we started this only with Home Depot, we had an advantage because we knew what I call it, the VIG, the coupon price was, whatever you want to call it. We had to pay them. If they see, I mentioned how we get our own leads before. That's our ISPs. There's two other ways we get leads. Home Depot spends a fortune on Google lead aggregating. And if they get a lead in our area for our product, we get that lead. And so they generated the lead. The other is I walked into Home Depot. I need a kitchen. I go talk to the kitchen designer and they say, well, you're better off getting refacing. So we get leads through the store. So there's three ways we get it. When we generate the lead, we got to pay 12%. When they generate the lead, we got to pay 18%. So we knew that walking in the door. And when we started, we had no ISPs. And my son, my other son, Brian, did it for us a little bit when we first started. So we had to mark up enough and know where we needed to be to cover that 18% nut that we were going to have to pay each time we sold something and be profitable. So we were profitable from the first day we went in. And when we were very small, it was me and Patty selling out of the house, my son going to the stores, getting leads, a deal a day. It was crazy. And then somebody told me, he goes, you can continue doing what you're doing and you will make a very good living. Or you could try to build a team to do what we did. That's the route we went. He goes, but you're going to go through ups and downs because you're going to get here. And to get to that next level, you almost have to drop a little bit and invest back into the company. And you still go backwards before you go forwards and spring way forwards. And so we do this over the years. So we're always profitable to the point now when you're talking, you know, millions and millions of dollars in business, there comes a point, obviously, where that number is very big in your pocket. And you're like, okay, it's a lot different. I mean, I sit there and it's just surreal. We say we could do anything. I mean, anything that I want to do. I mean, I could go do tomorrow if I wanted
to. But let me ask you this, because this is something while I was away and I could talk to you for an hour. And it, actually, when we're next time we're together, ask me. And it's very interesting money conversation because I was in some crazy places where, anyway, do you remember if there was a decision that you made, that you had to make in order for you to say, okay, enough is enough here. I want to go to this.
That's been pretty much my whole life, though, honestly. I've always wanted to get bigger, better. I was never happy. That's the entrepreneurial side. That's where my thing is grow, grow, grow. And Patty's thing is, how do I make the growth work? Okay. How do I pull this in? He's throwing so much stuff out there. We're getting so big. How do I run the company and get people under her, which was the key? Again, you know, I've always wanted to grow. I continue want to grow. I know there was a lot of private equity out there. There probably still is. We're not looking for that. We have family members that work for us. We have people that have worked for us for many, many years. We're still young, young at heart, baby, but we're young, enjoying life and being able to get away and do whatever we want while the business is still going. It's why sell it? There's no reason. I don't need this big lump of money when I have money coming in every single week that adds up to the same stuff. So why get rid of it?
We can have a conversation about that too. But do you remember if there was a decision that you had to make?
I don't. I got to think about what that one big thing was.
It would be interesting. Think about it next time we talk, see if something comes up. Because there was something. Something happened and you and Patty together, maybe you made a decision and it completely changed the trajectory of your life. Right now, I've got a little fascination with decisions, and this won't go out before our Success Society intensive in a couple of weeks, but they're going to get a whole session on decision, and I'm working on a tool about that particular topic, because I think all of us are just really kind of one big decision away from where we want to be, but something's preventing us from making that decision. It could be a lot of things, but there's a fear behind it. There's a disbelief of something behind it. But if that decision was made, boy, it could unlock a lot.
Yeah, I'm going to think about that because I can't think off the top of my head. I can't think of what it was. It was a lot of little decisions, you know, a lot of little things that added up to getting to a point.
Think about it, because there was one thing that happened. I know what it was for me. For me, it was, I'm done. Enough is enough. I've had this goal for 20 years. Enough. I'm done. I am making this happen. It was an income goal. I'm making it happen. And so there was something. So think about it.
Yeah. Our story was, if you remember, we had a flooring company, did very well with that. The recession came. So we already knew that we wanted to get back to that point. So this decision probably happened way back then. We knew when we were going to do this, it was going to happen. It was, how do we take the floor company to get so big? I think that was it. And I think it was by accident, to tell you the truth. I think one of our installers wanted to move from South Florida, Southeast to Tampa. And we looked at each other and said, why don't we just open up in Tampa? And that sort of, and then you could still work for us. So that sort of was a big decision back then that we ended up, that allowed us to work in other markets. But
I'm not talking about a business necessarily decision. It was more something personal inside of you. There was a desire. There was a want. There was, anyway, I don't know.
I've had it. Honestly, I've had it since I was a kid.
Well, I have too. I mean, look, I wanted to be rich ever since I was a kid, but it took me 48 years to flip and figure it out. But it stemmed from me making that decision.
I'll let you know. I'm going to think that one.
Yeah. I mean, look, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was just me. And by the way, I don't believe in accidents or luck, or I think we make our own.
I agree.
I'll tell you this. This is something I did think about, being abroad, being out of this country, is I think if there is luck, I think being born here in this country and being born healthy, I think that's it. That's the luck that we got, because there's a lot of people born in places that are not good. And then you compound that with, it could be, you know, you could be born somewhere like this here, United States, and not be healthy, or you could have both. And that's like bad luck. That to me is like really bad luck. So I think my thinking on luck has changed, but I think it's just at the very, very, very beginning. But who knows? What do I know?
I'm going to use your word that you love and I love as well, mindset.
Yeah.
Look at these people. They come over from another country with nothing and they start a business, a hot dog truck. And next thing you know, they got this huge business, or they start cleaning houses because they can't get in anywhere. And all of a sudden they got this dynasty, this whole empire of cleaning companies. That's the same thing. Their mindset was, I was going to make it. I didn't come here to clean toilets. I came here to run a business and start a business. And that's where it really comes down to. You could lead a horse, but you can't make a drink. I mean,
exactly. Yeah.
You could give everybody every tool in the world. And you would hope if somebody's going, like we go to a lot of these shows that you said, or you listen to the podcast, if you're listening, you've done half the work. You probably did more than half the work. Now just implement what you've been shown. And that's, I think, is the missing piece, is everybody's a little scared to push that one little button that's going to help do what you're saying, get you on that track to get going.
Yeah. Well, Ken, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. This has been great. It's always fun talking with you, and having bourbon with you is also a lot of fun.
It's great talking with you, Brian. Thanks.
For everybody listening, it's another episode of the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. Great story with Ken and his lovely partner, Patty. We mentioned a couple of things here. I'm going to do a couple of shameless plugs here. One is for the Profit Workshop, September 10th and 11th, I think, right here in Miami. You want to focus on profitability. You want to know how to make money. I don't think you can learn from two better guys than Mark Curry and this dude, Brian Kaskvalsian. But go to thewealthycontractor.com/profit. All the information is there for you. Until next time, this is Brian Kaskvalsian, and this is the Wealthy Contractor Podcast.
Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. For insights on skyrocketing your home improvement business and accelerating your journey to the success, wealth, and freedom you've always dreamed about, be sure to get your free copy of my best-selling book, The 7 Secrets to Becoming a Wealthy Contractor, at www.thewealthycontractor.com. And don't forget to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. See you next time.